Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods Limited First Half 2020 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jessie, and good morning, guys. With me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our CFO, and Drew O'Malley, our Chief Operating Officer. I'm very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the half year, which was the 24-week period to the 13th of October 2019. During the course of this presentation, we'll reference underlying results excluding the new leasing standards unless otherwise stated. If I draw your attention to page one on the actual deck itself, you'll see there's a series of columns of financial information on the left-hand side, which are in different shades of green. Those are typically our numbers and how they're presented. These are all pre the new leasing standards. What you'll see on the right-hand side, which is the gray column, these are the results, the statutory results that reflect the new leasing standards. The half-year results for Collins Foods show strong revenue and earnings growth. Revenue was up 9.2% from 111 million to 448.8 million. The increase in revenue was driven by new store openings in addition to positive comp sales from the KFC business. EBITDA was up 7.4% on an underlying basis from 53.7 million to 57.7 million, reflecting good flow-through from the additional revenue. Underlying NPAT was 23.9 million, up 9.1% on prior half year. During the half year, there were non-trading items in relation to the unamortized borrowing costs being expensed as a result of refinancing of our debt earlier in the half, and some make-good expenses associated with the product exit, and this was the crusher beverage product, insurance money relating to material damages off the back of the Townsville flood, and marketing expenditure in KFC Australia redirected to digital technology. KFC Australia has allowed some of our advertising and marketing money to go towards the purchase of digital menu boards in the drive-throughs, which we'll refer to later on, and there's obviously a different accounting methodology associated with moving from expense to capital. Net operating cash flow was 33.7 million, down 2.1 million on prior half due to working capital timing from the year-end. Net debt against prior year, sorry, against prior half year, decreased 8.9 million to 217.3 million due to strong operating cash flows. The net leverage ratio, that's a net debt to EBITDA, excluding leasing, was 1.84. Underlying basic earnings per share was 0.205, up 9.1% from 0.188 per share at the prior half year. A fully franked interim dividend of 0.095 per share will be paid, up 5.6% from 0.09 per share at the prior half year. I'd now like to take you through the operation highlights by brand. Our core KFC business in Australia had a strong first half. Overall total revenue growth was up 8.9%, with same-store sales growth across KFC Australia of 4.9%. We've expanded our delivery footprint with approximately 100 restaurants now offering a delivery service. Underlying EBITDA margin was up 50 basis points to 17.5%. We have built and opened two new KFC restaurants in Australia during the first half, and subsequent to the half year, we have built and opened a further four restaurants. In Europe, same-store sales growth was flat at 0.1%. This was driven by 5.7% same-store sales growth in Germany, while dampened by same-store sales decline in the Netherlands of 2.9%. The recently introduced value campaigns in Germany are beginning to drive positive sales growth. In the Netherlands, new brand and marketing leadership are expected to improve results in the second half. Three new restaurants were built and opened in the Netherlands, and one new restaurant built and opened in Germany during the half. Our fifth Taco Bell opened in Southport in July. Subsequent to the half, we have built and opened a further two restaurants. New restaurants continue to have strong openings. A further five restaurants are expected to be open before financial year end. Sizzler Australia delivered solid same-store sales growth of 4%. We closed a further two restaurants since year end, bringing our restaurant count as of today to 10. Sizzler Asia's sales and earnings continue to grow, and at the half we had 76 restaurants in Asia. Now looking at each of the brands in more detail. This is on page 4. Turning to KFC Australia, in terms of overall performance, KFC Australia delivered strong results during the half with revenue and profits both up on the prior half. Total revenue was up 8.9% to $359.5 million. As referred to earlier, the same-store sales growth for the half year was 4.9%. KFC underlying EBITDA grew by 12.3% from $56.1 million to $63.1 million, with an overall EBITDA margin of 17.5%, up from 17% in the prior half, due to strong sales growth as well as strong cost controls resulting from improved network systemization. We built and opened two new restaurants during the half year, bringing our restaurant count to 233. Four restaurants were opened shortly after the half year, with our current restaurant count being 237. We are now offering delivery services in approximately 100 of our restaurants through Deliveroo and Menulog. The KFC business continues to focus on new product ideas and invigorating existing range of core products. Standout products launched during the half were the Zinger Par and the Cola Barbecue Wicked Wings, while standout value items include the return of the $10 popcorn chicken bucket and 24 nuggets for $10. These twists and variations provide customers with exciting new products, keeping the brand fresh and relevant. We have seen good growth in delivery with approximately 100 restaurants currently supporting delivery, with 54 of these covered by multiple aggregators. The delivery channel continues to reflect strong, largely incremental growth. The app orders continue to grow in popularity and importance as a meaningful channel for developing customer loyalty and driving sales. We commenced the rollout of digital menu boards in our drive-thru restaurants with plans to upgrade the system over the next several years. From an operations perspective, the focus continues to remain on speed of service and guest satisfaction scores to create a better and more enjoyable customer experience. Our remodeled and new restaurant program continues to drive growth. A total of two new restaurants are built in Queensland and 29 models were recompleted across the network with a capital spend of approximately $9 million. We are on target to build a total of 9 net new restaurants in FY20 and plan on building between 9 and 10 net restaurants in FY21. As mentioned earlier, we have commenced the rollout of digital menu boards in our drive-thru restaurants. We expect this rollout to take several years as you manage a capital cost associated with this. KFC Australia have allowed a portion of our local store marketing expenditure to partially fund this rollout. And moving to slide 9 now, I'll turn to our KFC European business. Overall same-store sales growth for Europe was flat at 0.1% same-store sales growth. The sales performance for the two countries was mixed, where in Germany there was strong same-store sales growth of 5.7% for the half. However, sluggish same-store sales of negative 2.9% in the Netherlands dampened the overall result. Four new restaurants were opened in the half, and combined with the rollover effect of the prior year new stores, the overall sales in Europe grew by 11.8% to $63.7 million for the half. Overall, EBITDA was compressed due to the sales deleverage of the Netherlands, costs associated with the opening of four new restaurants during the period, and some G&A inefficiencies. In Germany, there has been early positive success following the introduction of both value and snacking as permanent layers on the menu, coupled with a brand refresh launch earlier in June. This has been pivotal in driving transaction-driven sales. Overall brand communications has improved from a contemporary impactful TV campaign through to standardizing and simplifying the menu boards to make the customer journey easier and more enjoyable. Further to the national calendar, we have been working on elevating the overall brand experience in the Stuttgart region. If you recall, in the Stuttgart region, we are the only franchisee and have 8 restaurants, and this allows us greater flexibility to test. The test in this area, besides incorporating a stronger value proposition, focuses on elevating customer experience through the use of kiosks, the KFC app, delivery, a much better drive-through experience, and the introduction of table service. Early results from this testing is positive, and we are experiencing stronger sales growth in this area versus the national average in Germany. We built one new restaurant in Germany in Bonn Station, which had a positive opening. We also closed an underperforming restaurant, and there is the potential to close a further underperforming restaurant in the near future. As presented in our previous market update, from a development perspective, we have changed our thinking in Germany. We are now focusing on drive-throughs in the surrounding areas as opposed to inline restaurants in the city centres. In the Netherlands, the franchisor of the last number of months has strengthened its marketing capability through the appointment of a new CMO as well as changes in the marketing team and agency partners. This has resulted in significant changes in the overall marketing plan and calendar for 2020, where the primary focus will be on driving transaction-led sales through disruptive and everyday value. Further to this, a fair amount of work is underway to address some of the key brand elements to prevent leakage and eliminate barriers. From an operations perspective, the focus remains on delivering consistently high operational standards and keeping tight margin controls in place. Our recently introduced kiosks have had a positive impact, and we are finding how we best optimize them. We built and opened 3 new restaurants in the Netherlands during the first half, and at this stage all are performing to expectation. 2 are drive-through restaurants and 1 is an inline restaurant. We anticipate potentially a further restaurant opening in the Netherlands during this financial year. Overall in FY21, we will be targeting between 4 and 6 new restaurants across Europe. This is down slightly on our previous target, as our pipeline in Germany, where we have shifted to drive-through formats, is taking some time to develop. We are continuing to work on optimizing the financial and administrative operations in our back office through the introduction of new financial and accounting systems. This has taken a bit longer than anticipated, and as such, we have not yet been able to fully realize efficiency gains. Moving our attention to Taco Bell on slide 14, or page 14. We opened our 5th Taco Bell restaurant in Southport, Queensland, during August. Subsequent to the half year, we have opened 2 restaurants, one in Logan Central in October and one in Currajong up in Townsville during November. Our new restaurants continue to have very strong openings, supported by positive social media buzz. We expect to open a further 4 Taco Bell restaurants this calendar year, 2 in Queensland and 2 in Melbourne, Victoria. The Melbourne restaurants are in South Yarra and in Hawthorne and are expected to open in the next 1 to 2 weeks. Including a restaurant on track to open in January, this will bring the total number of Taco Bell restaurants in Queensland and Victoria to 12 as at the end of January. We have a strong pipeline of sites and are targeting to build around 20 restaurants in calendar year 2020. Taco Bell continues to launch new and innovative products with great success, and we remain positive with the overall performance of the Taco Bell brand to date. Moving to page 17, Sizzler Australia had solid same-store sales of 4% in the half. However, Sizzler revenues were down 8.9% from $22.2 million to $20.2 million in the same period, driven by the closure of 2 restaurants. The restaurant count at the end of the half is 10. In Sizzler Asia, royalty revenues were up 17.9% on the prior half year. Overall, EBITDA for Sizzler was up around $700,000 to $2.8 million, with a margin of 13.7%, up compared with prior half year. Following the closure of 1 restaurant in China, the Sizzler Asia footprint of the half year was 76. I'll now hand you over to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Graham. For everyone on the call, I'm on slide 20, and I'm pleased to report on our strong operating cash flow supporting the growth of our business. Net operating cash flow before interest and tax, this is pre the new leasing standard, was $49 million compared to $49.9 million in the prior half year. mainly due to a timing swing in working capital, the benefit of which was received last year. Statutory net operating cash flow before interest and tax was $72.3 million, significantly impacted by the introduction of AASB 16. $23.2 million of cash outflows relating to leases have been reallocated to financing activities. The net cash flow from investing activities was $23.7 million, comprising $23.3 million for CapEx, reflecting further investment in new restaurants and the existing network. The $23.3 million CapEx cash spend was made up of the following. New store and remodel CapEx was circa $15.7 million, while maintenance and other capital was circa $7.6 million. Net cash outflow from financing, again pre the leasing standard, was $13.3 million. That was mostly the dividend paid during the half year of $12.2 million. Statutory net cash outflows from financing after the introduction of the new leasing standard was $36.5 million, and this includes cash attributable to leases of $23.2 million. And moving to slide 22, net debt was up to $217.3 million from $212.5 million at the end of our financial year 19. Net leverage ratio, again before the leasing standard, declined to 1.84 from 1.87 at the year end. Our covenant for this metric is 2.75, and the bank facility is approximately $395 million, so we continue to operate well within our covenants and facility headroom. Moving to slide 23, looking at the balance sheet, the cash balance is down $2.6 million to $77.2 million. Property, plant and equipment is up $10.4 million, reflecting the continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation. Gross debt increased marginally to $293.5 million from $291.3 million at the year end. Net assets, including the leasing impact, are up $8.5 million, driven mainly by a right-of-use asset of $362.4 million, offset by lease liabilities of $370 million. Now back to Graham for a word on the priorities for the second half of our financial year.
Thanks, Nigel. The plan for our core KFC Australia business is to continue to strengthen and streamline operational systems, expand the delivery network above 100 restaurants, and increase usership and engagement through digital channels. We will build a total of 9 net new restaurants in FY20 and will target between 9 and 10 net new restaurants in FY21. Focus for the European business will be to grow sales through always on, everyday and disruptive value, continue elevating the focus on the customer and create back office efficiencies. We plan to build 4 to 5 new restaurants in FY20 with the FY21 new build target of 4 to 6. We will continue to establish and build the Taco Bell brand in Australia, open a further 5 restaurants in Queensland and Victoria, and continue our focus on operational performance, ensuring business model returns are delivered. We are targeting 20 new restaurant builds in the calendar year 2020. I would now like to open the call for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before asking your question. The first question comes from James Ferrier with Wilson's Advisory. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure, James.
First question's on delivery in the Australian KFC business. Graham, in your remarks, you mentioned the sales there were largely incremental. Can you perhaps put some numbers around the quantum of incremental sales? And also talk a bit about what sort of penetration you might ultimately see, given you're at 100 now and it seems like you're sort of penetrating deeper and faster than you previously thought.
Thanks, James. Look, I'll hand it over to Drew to answer that question.
Yeah, good morning, James. So delivery right now, as Graham mentioned, so we're over 100 stores, which is really exceeds what our full-year projection was even 6 months ago. To your question on incrementality, the number that we generally share is we estimate it's around 70% incremental. That is a number that we continue to monitor and see where it will wind up, as over time we'd expect that incrementality will come down as channels switch. But overall, delivery continues to be a platform that we're seeing nice growth in.
I think previously you've talked about stores offering delivery, seeing something like 10% same-store sales growth. Is that still a feature in terms of the quantum of performance?
Yeah, so we do tend to see a difference between stores in metro and more densely populated areas. The overall, we tend to say we're in sort of mid-single figures, but the 10% you're alluding to, we do have situations where it is north of 10% in stores which have conducive trade zones for delivery. So, as I mentioned, metro areas are highly densely populated ones.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Second question's around the margins in Europe. And given the weaker same-store sales growth and given the majority of the new store openings were in the Netherlands, perhaps in relation to Germany then, where you printed quite strong same-store sales growth, can you give us a sense around what sort of margin expansion you saw at a store level coming through from that stronger same-store sales growth?
Look, there was typically we'll measure it on flow through. So certainly what we were seeing in Germany is that there was some flow through from the increased sales. There was also, obviously we did close a restaurant during that time, so we did experience some increased losses in that particular store until we closed it about a month or so ago.
Yeah, okay. And then the second element around the European margins topic is the sort of the head office costs, the G&A costs. I recall last year they'd stepped up year on year. To what extent is that cost line still increasing, or is it starting to flatline now?
Look, it's probably increasing slightly. We do see a little hump probably in the next 6 months. As we finalise a lot of the systems work across there, but once we have the systems in place that we want and we start to get efficiencies from it, we can reorganise how we process the back office, and we should start to see some gains off the back of that.
Okay, so when you say gains, do you sort of get a leverage on a flat G&A line, or do you think that G&A line actually starts to decline in FY21?
If we look at the back office, there's two components to the G&A. One is, I suppose, if you look at it in the pure sense, which is the accounting, finance, IT support. The other one is the training, HR, above store. So training above store will always increase as a variable to the number of stores that we build. However, we do see the possibility of efficiency gains within the financial side of the back office.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And final question, perhaps for Nigel. So what are your expectations for D&A and total capex for the full year?
Yeah, so D&A, we're looking at somewhere around the 40 million mark, James, and CapEx, it's probably mid-60s, maybe a little bit higher.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from Tim Plum with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of questions from me, if that's all right.
Yeah, no worries, Tim.
Great. Just further to James's question in terms of KFC Australia, pretty strong like-for-like sales. Is there a way of breaking it down in terms of, excluding delivery, what was the in-store like-for-like sales growth across the platform and what was driving that growth?
Yeah, so... We look at the delivery quite a bit. So it's we estimate that of same store sales, or somewhere between 1% to 2% of same-store sales coming from the delivery channel. The rest is really has a lot to do with brand strength and the retail calendar. So as we put in the deck, value and innovation, we've been very pleased with the strength of the retail calendar on those two fronts, and we think that's continuing to drive strong same-store sales.
Great. And if I think back to the full-year result, I think the first 8 weeks were plus 3.4. That would imply that the last 4 months of the half were kind of tracking at plus 5.65, plus 5.7. Can you talk a little bit about the, like-for-like same-store sales year-to-date in the second half for KFC Australia?
Certainly. So I can't challenge your numbers on the second half there. I will say at the beginning of of the first half, the beginning of the second half right now, we have started the first 6 weeks a bit under 4.5% same-store sales.
Great. And then just a little bit more in terms of KFC Netherlands. I mean, you're talking about reducing brand leakage, overcoming negative brand barriers. Can you just maybe walk us through a little bit more detail in terms of what you think is driving that negative like-for-like growth? Why is it going backwards?
Yeah, look, if you look at the overall, sales performance in the Netherlands, we have been at loggerheads to some degree with the franchisor in terms of the direction that we feel that the brand needs to move on. What we are pleased with now, I think we mentioned that the last off there was going to be a new CMO that was put in place, a more senior person. She's come in, she's changed her team, she's brought in a new agency, and a lot of her thinking now is very similar to how we see it. And it is our business is a value-led business. Everywhere around the world where you see KFC doing well, which is the majority of the markets, it is value-led. And, we can see in our German business, the positive turn that we've had there really is a result of the value component. I think what happened in the Netherlands when they changed management a couple of years ago, they lost the focus on value. With the new CMO and her team coming into place, value is now front and center. And so that's part of the, overcoming some of those other barriers, because value is a key barrier to consumers coming through.
Right, because, I know that's been a big push for the German business over the last 12 to 18 months, but it hadn't been a push in the Netherlands. I thought the value menu offering was already in place there.
Yes, so it had historically been in place, and certainly, if you recall, when we bought the business, we had historical positive growth in the Netherlands off the back of value. When the new management, the new franchisor management came in place, they started focusing on other aspects and not on value to the same extent. And so there was that has driven a lot of the unwinding in a sense. However, where we are now, we feel we're in a much stronger place in terms of regaining where we were before.
Got it. And then just very last question in terms of Taco Bell. Are you able to talk at all in terms of first half losses relating to that business, how you're thinking about FY20 and how you're thinking about the break-even point?
Yeah, look, we had, I think we had mentioned probably around 2 million is what we were expecting as a negative effect during the course of this year. Look, we'll probably move it up just a little bit more, maybe a 2.2, 2.3, and that's off the back of the store openings sort of pushing out a little bit more. One of the things that we really are insistent on is that the quality of the sites where we build these restaurants have to be the right site and the A-grade site. And that's always a challenge for us, when you're coming into a fairly crowded market. So as a result, we have seen some slippages, and as you'll see from the numbers, it's all back-end loaded. Ideally, you would want to sort of spread it out a bit more, and certainly when we were originally planning, we did have it spread out a bit more. So probably moved up a little bit more than we had originally indicated, and then moving into 2021 or FY21, we had indicated that we should be at the point of starting to break even on it. And look, give or take, be there or thereabouts.
Got it. So first half, we should be thinking like, what, losses of 1.4, 1.5-ish, and then improving into the second half, or kind of very similar first half, second half losses?
You're probably talking a million or so first half and a million and a bit second half, Tim.
Got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from James Ferrier. Please go ahead.
Tim stole my thunder, guys, with that last question, so thank you.
All right, cool.
Thank you. There are no further, pardon me, we do have another question from Greg Smith with SAT Products. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, gents. Just two quick questions. Just one just on the Taco Bell rollout, just to confirm that's not being impacted, I guess, at this stage by the claim from Taco Bell in Victoria. And just, I guess, the second question was maybe a bit of a look ahead. Obviously, interesting development that KFC Australia launching a digital, well, they've launched, I think, haven't they, a digital drive-through only restaurant. I'm thinking Newcastle. So just maybe the how closely you'll be looking at that and implications as you see it.
Yeah, look, let me pick up the first question and I'll get Drew to answer the second question, because the second one is an interesting one. Look, certainly we did release a little statement a month or so ago, just identifying that Taco Bell, the Mexican restaurant chain, predominantly in Victoria, had served us with a federal court proceeding. This is not in terms of the trademark, but it's more in terms of, misleading or deceiving their existing customers into thinking Taco Bell is actually Taco Bell. So really, it's about passing off. We obviously go through the process. When we look at our restaurants, we sit in the QSR category. We have drive-throughs. We have a very contemporary format. Our competition sort of sits with McDonald's and KC, whereas we see the Taco Bell sitting in a different category completely. So while we obviously need to go through the process, at this point we don't see us sort of changing our plans.
Okay.
So I'll pick up the second part of the question on the drive-through only store that just opened. So, look, overall, if you look at KFC, the vast majority of our sales today come through through drive-through. So, really, the building of a drive-through only is an extension of that thinking. And, while that wasn't our store, we're eager to see how the store performs and what types of returns it gets. I think in the broader picture, what you should expect to see from KFC over the next few years is probably more experimentation with the types of assets that we look to build. So that could be drive-through onlys. It may also be smaller footprint stores, potentially inlines, as we look for new locations that can just enhance the convenience of the brand and be where our customers want us to be. So I think some exciting things in store over the next few years on the types of assets that we start to build.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from Tim Plum. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Sorry, just one more question from me, if possible, just around operating costs within KFC Australia. Graham or Drew, are you able to talk a little bit in terms of, chicken price, like-for-like chicken price pressure, and also what you're seeing on the labor side?
Yeah, look, I think maybe talking more broadly around margins, I'd put it this way, that we're certainly quite pleased with the first half performance on margins. Having said that, there are definitely some potential headwinds in our environment from cost pressures related to the drought, from waste levies and the container deposit scheme, among others. To a certain degree, they can be mitigated with some efficiency gains and some modest pricing, but they are part of the current landscape that we're facing. So looking maybe more specifically on poultry, I think that's indicative. So feed prices are near their historic highs. So while we do have contracts in place, we're in constant discussion with our poultry suppliers about how to support them during what's clearly a difficult period. So these conversations are ongoing, and that's probably all I'm able to share on the subject of present, but obviously managing and mitigating those headwinds is definitely very top of mind for us.
Great. And just lastly, on the labor side of things?
Yeah, not too much to add on that. I mean, that's always an ongoing part of, the way that we forecast and project the business. So, I mean, I think there's always a case where we take probably less pricing than there is labor cost increase, but that's just part of the environment and certainly something that we just manage on an ongoing basis.
Got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.